We're going to talk some Husky hoops. Big one at Matthew Knight Arena. Our guest played for Bob Bender and the Dogs back in the mid-1990s. He'll be behind the mic for the Husky radio broadcast on Como 1000 AM, 97.7 FM. We welcome in Jason Hamilton. Jason, much appreciate the time. How's life treating you these days?
Hey, Jason.
How you guys doing? No, everything's good. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. At least it's not raining. And we're going to have a good game tonight, I think.
You know, as a true insider, your thoughts, following 2017, Lorenzo Romar was dismissed, a highly respected guy, top-notch man who, you know, unfortunately had been in kind of a downward cycle, and being so wired in as far as the fans and the supporters, how did that go over, parting ways with Coach Romar, then bringing in a true outsider, albeit a successful assistant like Mike Hopkins?
Yeah, to be honest with you guys, it was a really split fan base, I think, from what Lorenzo Romar did at the University of Washington in terms of bringing back some respectability and prominence to the basketball program that had been dormant for so long. You know, getting to a couple of Sweet 16s and you know, multiple NCAA tournaments, winning conference championships as well as tournament titles. But the downward slide, you know, kind of left a bad taste in fans' mouth. But still, at the end, Jennifer Cohen, the new athletic director, had a tough decision to make. And when she did end up finally making that decision, I think it really was a 50-50 split. Some people were upset. Some people were ready for a change. But then Mike Hopkins came in with a ton of energy. You know, obviously his pedigree at Syracuse as a player and an assistant coach under Jim Boeheim, and has really revitalized the fan base and obviously the recruiting base. So I think the naysayers and the people that were upset, I think, are on board now. And I think, you know, people are enjoying to watch Husky basketball again.
You know, you have kind of a unique perspective with the program. You helped lead them to the NIT in the 90s, ending a super long postseason drought. Then you stepped into being an assistant coach, where you helped lead them to the NCAAs, ending an even longer drought. Now you've been an analyst, where you've seen three Sweet 16s, six more NCAA trips. One, do you take personal credit for reviving the program? And two, what's the biggest change you've noticed over that span?
Well, you guys are obviously the smartest, you know, duo I've ever spoken to on radio. You guys get it, that I was the real reason. But, you know, it's been an interesting development. And, like, you know, even back when I was playing in Mac Court against Kenny Wilkins and that whole crew at Oregon, to now, you know, the college sports have changed so much, and Washington basketball has changed so much. But, you know, there's seen so many great players come through. You know, you think about that run with Brandon Roy and Isaiah Thomas and that group. But it's been fun. And I'm not exactly sure what the question was exactly, but you know, it's nice to see these guys and this group have a chance to go back to the tournament too.
No, Alex was trying to point you out solely as the reason for the resurrection of Husky basketball.
Yeah, I like that.
Seems very legit.
I want to throw the spotlight on the sophomore, Jalen Knoll, as we continue talking Husky hoops with Jason Hamilton. I mean, he was one of the best freshmen in program history last year. And then this year, be it his shooting, three-point shooting, rebounding, Jason, it seems like he's upgraded everywhere. What could you tell us about his game and what he's done to improve in so many areas?
Yeah, you know, he came in last year physically ready to play, and a lot of freshmen, and you guys are seeing it with Oregon right now, where, and this is a young team for Dana Altman, and physically guys are talented and athletic, but maybe a little light, need to put some weight on their body. Jalen came in already like a grown man. I mean, he's broad, he's 6'5", all of, you know, 210, 215, and plays with a physicality for a guard that you don't typically see with freshmen. The other thing is he has an unbelievable mid-range game, which, you know, people typically don't have either in today's college basketball. So he came in with those traits, and I think with an attitude that he could come in and help right away and even dominate. And anytime you score 500 plus points in your freshman season, you know, you're doing something right. He had a chance to be the freshman of the year last year, except for that guy down in Arizona, DeAndre Ayton. And if not for him, he would have been right there. But he came back this year you know, trying to add other elements to his game. And he's been a better floor leader. His assists are up. His rebounds are up. His outside shooting percentage is up. You know, he's shooting 51% from the floor. You know, and as a guy that's doing other things as well in terms of playing great D in the 2-3 zone and then sharing the ball, I mean, he just elevated his game in every way.
You mentioned the recruiting base Coach Hopkins is trying to build right now. Last week, Isaiah Stewart picked the Huskies over Duke, Syracuse, Michigan State, Kentucky. You add Washington to that list and you end up playing, you know, one of these things is not like the other. He would be the first five-star since Markel Fultz for the Huskies. You know, I'm not sure if you've seen much of Stewart's game, but how much does getting him mean in sort of legitimizing what Coach Hopkins is doing right now?
Well, you know, to your point about one of these things is not like the other, I mean,
yeah,
it's a stunning turn of events when you see a guy that's, you know, top five in the country pick Washington, and you then understand the prowess and the respectability that Coach Mike Hopkins has, especially on the East Coast. You know, he's a guy, Isaiah Stewart, that had been recruited for a long time, and the relationship was strong. But even still, you'd expect a guy like that maybe to stay a little closer to home or stay Midwest, East Coast, where the visibility might be a little bit better for him or closer to family. And instead, you know, Coach Hopkins shocks the world to pull, you know, a rabbit out of his hat. So I think that bodes well in the rest of his recruiting. And, you know, you got to compete, right? I mean, the league is a little down, but Oregon continues to have great recruiting classes. And if you want to win and be near the top, you know, you've got to be able to get guys like Isaiah Stewart and others that can complement your program.
A few final thoughts for Jason Hamilton talking Huskies. You know, we've become so accustomed to successful teams from the power leagues loaded with one-and-done guys or blue chippers. But, you know, the freshmen here are making minimal contributions. You got guys like Thibel, Noah Dickerson, David Crisp. How much of an edge do you think that gives all that experience for Washington as we, you know, get into the teeth of conference play?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly doesn't hurt, right? I mean, they've been in a lot of situations. They've won some big games in some tough places, like at Kansas last year, and you know, they've also lost some heartbreakers, like at Gonzaga this year in a buzzer beater at Gonzaga. So I think they've seen it. You know, they've been there, done that. It helps when you're playing a game like tonight against Oregon, where, you know, I think they're one of the most talented teams in the league, certainly. It's going to be a good environment. It's a huge game for both teams trying to legitimize their NCAA tournament portfolio. And so when they step onto that court tonight at Matthew Knight Arena at 6:00, I just feel like, you know, they're not going to be intimidated by the situation. Whether they can play to their, you know, their utmost ability, that remains to be seen. But the fact that they have seen some tough environments this year certainly helps.
You know, just the four losses for the Dogs this year, but they were to great teams. You know, the buzzer beater against the Zags, Virginia Tech, Auburn, Minnesota. But their five wins in conference so far have essentially, they've been over the bottom half of the league. So the road gets obviously tougher over the next few weeks. In their next six, underdogs in four. So this might be a weird question, but so obviously the best case scenario would be to win all six. But what's a good result coming out of playing the Oregon, LA, and Arizona schools?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'd like to think 4-2, which means you win your games at home and you split on the road. But just like with what Oregon just came through, you know, the Arizona trip is a tough trip, and so this Oregon trip is a very, very tough trip. So they're in for it. You're absolutely right. And, you know, looking at their 5-0, you know, the conversation at least in Seattle is, okay, now the season really starts, because these next six games are going to tell the tale, and certainly the next 80 minutes of basketball are going to tell the tale between Oregon and Oregon State, both teams, you know, really good and playing some good basketball. But, you know, I think they're focused on the one in front of them, but I think a 4-2 outcome would be really good. And you know, you just it's hard to even say that, because you really can't afford to lose any games. I mean, that's the way the league has disappointed across the board. So to even drop a couple really, really hurts.
One last thought, Jason, and you kind of touched on Oregon. You know, we live in the Oregon bubble and get inundated with the coverage. But, you know, you talk to the coaches, the players, plus obviously you've looked at film. So what's the buzz among the guys about the challenges this particular Oregon team will present tonight?
Well, I already mentioned their youth, and I think that's the biggest difference between you know, Dana Altman teams of the past and maybe the one of the in the present. You know, you get the grad transfer, sure, that always helps. But, you know, to have the youth and to have the injuries that Oregon has had, it really has changed the way the outlook of this season has gone. That being said, you get Kenny Wooten back. I know he's trying to work his way back into game shape and playing with that mask. But you still have a great leader in Peyton Pritchard, you know, somebody that can – knock down shots and lead the team. He knows exactly. He's the coach on the floor. So, you know, at home, I think they're obviously a different team as well. So they're gonna pose a challenge. I think people still look at Oregon like a very, very dangerous team, regardless of Bol Bol not being there. Just because Dan Altman's a great coach. He brings an intensity and a toughness. You know, the defense, the rebounding, the shot blocking, especially now that Wooten's back. So on any given day, you just don't know which Oregon team you're going to see. I think that's probably the biggest thing. You know, are they going to play to their potential and be a great team, or are they going to, you know, play like young players, make mistakes, turn the ball over, not shoot it well? And if they do, that leaves an opening for teams to come in and beat them.
Folks, he's Jason Hamilton. Awesome stuff. Follow him on Twitter, the handle at Jason D. Hamilton. He's the Ace Radio analyst for the Huskies. Jason, we really appreciate you taking some time to talk with us. Have a great stay in the Valley. Travel safe, and we definitely hope to catch up again down the road.
Thanks, Jason.
No doubt, guys. Appreciate the time.